Hello, and welcome to GCSE English Language Essentials. I'm your host, and today we're diving into one of the most challenging but rewarding skills you'll need for Paper 2, comparing writers' ideas and perspectives. This is question 4 on the OCR exam, worth a solid 12 marks, so it's absolutely crucial you nail this technique. Now, I know comparison questions can feel overwhelming. You've got two texts in front of you, often from completely different time periods, and you're thinking, where do I even start? But here's the good news. Once you understand the framework, this becomes one of the most satisfying questions to answer. You're essentially becoming a detective, uncovering not just what the writers say, but how they think and feel about their subjects. So grab your notes, get comfortable, and let's break this down together. Core concepts. 5 minutes. First things first. What does comparing writers' ideas and perspectives actually mean? This is where so many candidates lose marks. The question isn't asking you to compare the events described in the texts, or the characters, or even just the content. It's asking you to compare the writer's attitudes, their viewpoints, their tone. Think of it like this. Two people could describe the same holiday, but one might be enthusiastic and the other sarcastic. That difference in perspective is what you're hunting for. Let me give you a concrete example. Imagine text A is a Victorian travel writer describing a train journey full of wonder and excitement about modern technology. Text B is a 21st century blogger writing about the same route, but they're frustrated by delays and overcrowding. The event is the same, a train journey, but the perspectives are completely opposite. That's what you're comparing. So, step one in your framework, identify the big idea. Before you write a single word of your answer, ask yourself, what is each writer's overall tone? Are they angry, nostalgic, humorous, critical, celebratory? What's their purpose? To persuade, inform, entertain, reflect, and who's their audience? This big idea will anchor your entire response. Step two, select your evidence. And here's a key exam technique. Your quotations must be short and embedded. Don't write. The writer says, quote, "This is a long sentence about the landscape," end quote. Instead, embed it like this. The writer describes the landscape as a patchwork of hope, suggesting optimism. See the difference? It's fluid, it's analytical, and it keeps your argument moving. Step three, analyze the methods. This is where you show off your understanding of how language and structure work. Don't just say, the writer uses a metaphor. Explain why that metaphor matters. For example, writer A employs the metaphor of a roller coaster of emotions to convey the unpredictability of the experience. Whereas writer B uses the stark phrase, a necessary challenge, to emphasize difficulty over excitement. You're not just spotting techniques, you're explaining how they reveal perspective. Step four, and this is absolutely critical, compare explicitly. Use comparative connectives at the start of every paragraph. Words like similarly, in contrast, conversely, whereas. These signal to the examiner that you're integrating your comparison, not just describing text A and then text B separately. Integrated comparison is what gets you into the higher mark bands. And finally, step five, link back to perspective. Every point you make should circle back to the question, how does this method reveal the writer's attitude? This is your golden thread. It's what turns a list of observations into a sophisticated, cohesive argument. Exam tips and common mistakes, 2 minutes. Right. Let's talk about the pitfalls. The number one mistake candidates make is writing about text A for half the answer, then text B for the other half. This is called a separate analysis structure, and it will cap your marks. Examiners want to see you weaving the text together within the same paragraph. Another common error, feature spotting without analysis. If you write, writer A uses alliteration and writer B uses a rhetorical question, you've identified techniques, but you haven't explained their effect. Always ask yourself, so what? How does that alliteration make the reader feel? What does the rhetorical question reveal about the writer's attitude? And here's a timing tip. Allocate 20 to 25 minutes for this question. It's worth 12 marks, so it deserves significant attention. Spend the first 3 to 4 minutes reading both texts carefully and annotating the tone. Then plan your big ideas before you start writing. One more thing. Don't ignore the nuances. If one text is satirical and the other is earnest, that's a huge difference in perspective. If you miss the satire, your entire comparison will be off. So read carefully, think about subtext, and consider what's implied as well as what's stated. Quick fire, recall, quiz, 1 minute. Okay, let's test your knowledge with a quick fire quiz. I'll ask a question, pause for a few seconds, then give you the answer. Question one, what are you comparing in this question? The content of the texts or the writer's perspectives? The answer is the writer's perspectives, their attitudes, and viewpoints. Question two, should you write about text A and then text B or integrate the comparison? The answer is integrate the comparison within the same paragraph. Question three, name two comparative connectives you could use to start a paragraph. Possible answers. Similarly, in contrast, conversely, whereas. Question four, what's the difference between identifying a technique and analyzing it? The answer is, identifying is just naming it, like metaphor, but analyzing explains the effect it has on the reader and how it reveals the writer's perspective. Great! If you got those right, you're already thinking like an examiner. Summary and sign off. On E-Minute. So, let's recap. Comparing writers' ideas and perspectives is all about understanding tone, purpose, and attitude, not just content. Use the five-stage framework. Identify the big idea, select short embedded evidence, analyze methods, compare explicitly with connectives, and link back to perspective. Avoid separate analysis, avoid feature spotting, and always ask yourself, what does this reveal about the writer's viewpoint? This question is your chance to show sophisticated synoptic thinking. When you master it, you'll not only earn those 12 marks, you'll genuinely understand how writers craft meaning, and that's a skill that goes way beyond the exam hall. Thanks so much for listening to GCSE English Language Essentials. Keep practicing, keep comparing, and I'll see you next time. Good luck!